Hey, mighty man of God, you don't just have to listen and eavesdrop on me and the guests I interview on this show. How would you like to talk with someone directly to help you with your challenges, frustrations, and concerns? Book a free breakthrough call with us so we can find out where you are, where you like to go, and how we can connect you to a community of godly men who can help you get there. Although the breakthrough calls are free, time slots are limited, so just go to realmenconnect.com/call to schedule a call today. That's realmenconnect.com/call. It's like my wife always says, nothing will ever change unless you change something. So book your breakthrough call today. That's realmenconnect.com/CALL.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men, and we do it God's way by helping them win at what matters most. Guys, I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplishment of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God has called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply, not only in your relationships, but also on your job and in your community. Guys, warriors, today we have with us Dr. Jeff Voth, who is the founder of Cave Time. It's an organization that builds better men by kindling a fire in their hearts for Jesus. And he also serves as the lead pastor of Church 3434 and is a professor at Oral Roberts University. Guys, Jeff has his doctorate of ministry degree in community spiritual formation and a master's degree in apologetics and divinity. And Jeff is married to his beautiful wife, Lori, and they have four adult children, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and four grandchildren. And he lives in beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma. I want you guys to know that we invited Jeff on the show today to talk about his book, Serpent Crusher, a plan to become a better man by crushing the things that crush you. Amen. And to discuss a variety of topics impacting us as men today. And guys, I can't wait. So Warrior Nation, join me in welcoming to the Real Men Connect podcast, author, speaker, pastor, and professor, Dr. Jeff Voth. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jeff.
Joe, I am honored to be on with you. And man, to hear what Jesus is doing through your ministry and that we get to be a part of that, I'm just humbled. And so thank you. We exist to crush the enemy and build better men. We're on this planet to build better men. And when they get connected with Jesus and crush the serpent, that's a good place to be. We believe with all of our hearts.
You know, and Jeff, you and I agree that we're going to call each other what our mama called us. So I'm calling you Jeff, you calling me Joe. And we're going to, you're the guest on it, man. We're going to focus on you. The guys who listen to our podcast from all over the world, they know what we do and why we do it. But man, I'm excited about what you're doing in this book that you had just put out here. Serpent Crusher, man. I'm excited because I know that you're going to give us some insights. And what we're hoping is, as we have this discussion, that men will, something will resonate with them today as they listen and decide to go get a copy of your book to find out more and maybe even introduce to their small groups and what they're doing, that kind of thing. So, man, I know you are a very, very busy guy, Jeff. So we're going to jump right into it, man. But I always ask our guests when they come on the show, their favorite Bible verse that gives them inspiration from the Word of God. And when I'm talking to a guy who ministers to men, I can't wait to hear what this is. So I can't wait. What is your inspirational verse for your anchor verse that you're go-to?
Man, I have a tough time keeping my mouth shut when you were saying that because it's in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And that the Greek there, the behold, voila. It's like God has made you a new man. Now act like what you are. And that's what we like to say. When he made you new, he didn't make just 2/3 of you new. He didn't just make, you know, 3/5 of you new. You are all new. So act like what you are. We don't shame men. We encourage them by the power of the Spirit to act like what they are, new creatures.
Now, Jeff, I know you're not going to believe this. By the time this show probably comes out, I know it's over 800 episodes. We've been doing this for quite a while now. And I've asked men that question, their favorite Bible verse, what gives them inspiration, word of God. No one has ever said 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is kind of surprising enough, but yeah. Here's the biggest surprise. That's mine.
Stop. You are my brother from another mother.
I'm telling you, bro. You're the first ever.
It gives me
my
chills.
My favorite Bible verse. It gives me inspiration from the word of God. Because most of our listeners don't even know. Because I'm not being immune on my show.
And then it's like, act like what you are. It's a whole nother way to train up sons and daughters. Don't shame them. Jesus came and made you new.
Yeah.
Now act like what you are. It's a whole different way to coach them up.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny when because we work with guys, we coach them, we mentor, we do accountability groups, counsel them. And when men are struggling, I ask them a question. They kind of look at me sideways when they're struggling with something. And I said, who do you think you are? And it sounded like this confrontational question. They said, huh? What do you mean? I said, no, who do you think you are? I said, that determines what you're going to do. Be who God has called you to be. Be who you are. And what you're doing probably not line up with who you think you are.
Amen.
You know, so, I'm excited about talking to you, Jeff. And man, I got a lot of questions, but I know that we're short on time because of your busy schedule, but we're going to make it power packed. And man, but that's wonderful to know, man, you and I have the same exact, wow. First ever. You know, I know we're going to talk about your book, but when I was reading and doing my little research on you, Jeff, I read something that you mentioned called the five stones.
Oh yeah.
Sort of like what you have built your ministry around, your message around. Could you talk a little bit about the five stones and tell us about the role that they play, that you believe that they play in helping men become better men?
Absolutely. So the five stones of cave time. And we like to say that to be a man of God, you got to have stones, and double entendre intended, that you need to engage in these five. They're spiritual disciplines. But sometimes when we say disciplines, guys get the wrong. They think they're in trouble. So we talk about the five stones. They're the five foundation of what we believe is an inherently masculine formation. And they are the stone number one is show up. Every man knows what I mean, Joe, whether it's in a meeting across the U.S. or when I said it in Greece or South Africa or, you know, some Ireland. They love me to call it out in them and tell them to show up. They know what it means. A man shows up, right? That's what we do. And I like to tell people I got one gift. I'm not particularly smooth. Maybe not the smartest guy, but I know what it is to show up. Jesus was, is, and forever will be a show up kind of guy. I need to be as well. That starts the process. Show up. The second stone is the stone of worship. We need to be worshipers with our masculine presence, with our mouth, with our lives. We need to worship. So many guys think that means only singing. And so they check out when we talk about worship, but it's worship. Number three is the stone of prayer. We need to learn what it is to be a manly prayer, right? Not just these little preschool prayers. We need to know what it is to engage and pray as a man, to cover and protect my household, to speak life over my wife and children, to let the enemy know that my house, my address is my domain, not his. We need to be men of prayer. Number four, we need to be men of the word. Stone number four is word. We need to have the word in us. We need to have the word define us, like you and I just did with 2 Corinthians 5:17. We need to have the word be our tactics. Stone four is the word, and stone five is community, a band of brothers who help us live well. And I derived those from my doctoral study as I began to look at David. And the mighty men, and David was a manly figure. Now, he didn't always on the other side of the cave where he honed out these things. You know, when David wasn't in the cave and honing out the five stones, he got in trouble.
Amen.
Like we will as well.
Right.
But those five stones are our spiritual formation method that, I put in a book called Cave Time. It was kind of it was my doctoral work I did with men all over the country. I'm like, there's got to be a masculine way for us to to form men spiritually. And it was these five stones. And you and I both know that they worked in David's life because he would have gotten them from his Lord. Because Jesus is the ultimate show up guy. He was the ultimate worshiper, the ultimate prayer. He was the Word alive, and he knew what it was to gather a band who would he would help them live well. And so ultimately, it's not about David and what he did. It's about Jesus and the five stones and the stone that he is. And Joe, that has been a clear way for us to articulate to men a manly spiritual way to be formed.
Oh, Jeff, I love it, man. I love it. And I resonate with those, you know, and you have a lot of experience working with men in so many different capacities, even as an educator. You know, my background is in education as well. But based on your experience, Jeff, looking at those five stones, what do you, I know we obviously we need all of them as men,
yeah.
But what do you see that men are struggling with the most when it comes to those five stones? What seems
show, to show up, man. It just jumped out of me, like 2 Corinthians 5, show up. Man, just the power of presence. Stone one gets it all going. If you don't show up, nothing happens. You've got to show up. And so that's what we encourage guys. Man, you got to show up. You've got to interject something in your rhythm. And you know what? You probably need a divine intervention for God to help you show up, because they've been told they're a piece of crap all their lives. They've felt like a piece of crap all their lives. They felt like they haven't done anything, and they haven't, you know, I just all kinds of guys who just don't. And I'm like, show up. And when you begin to show up and put yourself in the presence of Jesus, he has got an amazing way of anointing you with his Holy Spirit. And these things start to come alive. And then you put a couple days back to back and 3 days back to back to back. And then, oh man, you may take a step back. That's okay. That doesn't define you. You show up again, right? Yeah. Amen. And get this show up rhythm. That's what I like to talk about.
Love it. Love it, Jeff. You know, Jeff, I read about you. I read your bio and I saw about your background. But I'm always curious when I meet men, especially if having done hundreds and hundreds of interviews, find out a man's story. And Jeff, for you to be where you are right now, doing the kind of work you do, how were you influenced growing up as a kid? What kind of environment did you grow up in, and what kind of community did you have around you?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't grow up necessarily in a Christian house to start with. My parents were good people, but they weren't following Jesus, and their marriage was falling apart. I probably couldn't have articulated that to you as a kid, but I knew something was wrong with mom and dad. And Jesus was the last thing they tried. They had tried cults. They had tried drinking. They had tried partying. And so I was a little kid that watched that. And then the last thing they tried before divorce was bowing their knee to Jesus in Gunnison, Colorado in 19...
In Gunnison, man, wow. Person I met who I've on the East Coast who knows about Gunnison, Colorado.
Oh, yeah. I was raised in Colorado. And so they bow their knee to Jesus up there at the high altitude. And Joe, it was radical. They changed. My dad stopped being a selfish man, stopped going out on my mom, stopped being this player. And they met Jesus, and he radically changed our lives.
Now, how old were you doing that time, Jeff?
11 years old.
About 11. And you remember that vividly?
Oh, vividly. I was first upset because they did it around Christmas time, and my dad quit his job. And I'm like, how are we going to get Christmas presents? Mm-hmm. And miraculously, it's really interesting. We started going to this little Baptist church, and somehow Christmas showed up, and my parents started, man, we were at the church. The Word became important. They were at Bible study. And Joe, it wasn't religious. It was a new life. And my dad, I saw him begin to do something in the morning that has impacted me. I saw him begin to pray. He began to pray. I would get up and he's out there kneeling. I'm like, what's the matter, man? Did Dad pass out? And I looked out there and Dad was praying, Joe. And I didn't totally understand that. And he barely knew what he was doing. But he just took God at his word. He began to pray, and we began to be people of the Word. And then he began to speak scripture to me, and he gave me this little, he became a Gideon. He couldn't get enough. So he had to give Bibles to people. He went to hotels and put Bibles in there. He went door to door. It became radical. And he gave me this little brown Gideon Bible. And I then went with that little brown Gideon Bible, went with a group of guys from our church on a backpacking trip up in the deep mountains of Colorado and got lost. We got lost, dangerously lost. And I'm a 12-year-old up there lost in the mountains of Colorado near death. And I have that little Bible. And I remember taking that Bible out, open it up and seeing my dad's, he had highlighted John 3:16. He had highlighted Galatians 2:20. He had highlighted 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so I think I'm dying. And I was, I was dying. I had done everything you could do to die. I walked away from my equipment. You know, I was just a scared kid in the wilderness. And I start yelling the scripture to God. You know, I'm just barely know God. And I'm like, God, for all have sinned and perished. And when they call in the name of Jesus, they'll be saved. Save me. And I'm up there in the mountains thinking I'm going to die. And miraculously, I heard a voice. And it sounded like my dad, but it wasn't my dad. And I contend that it was God. And he spoke to me, Joe, and he guided me out. And I wasn't a mountaineer. He guided me out. And as a little 12-year-old, I walked out 12 miles and followed his voice to the top of a place there at Elliott's Ridge. And I looked down to Green Mountain Reservoir. And a little kid, I walked out, should have died. And I heard the voice of God and we talked and I had that little Bible and I know God spoke to me. And there are people that say, well, you were hypothermic. Yes, I was hypothermic. You were scared and wanted your mama. Yes, I was scared, but I know what I heard. And Joe, in that walk, in that conversation, God called me to the ministry. I didn't even know what the ministry was. He spoke to me. And as a 12-year-old, he impressed upon me that he is a God who speaks. He is a God who saves. He is a God who rescues and delivers, and you can't take that away from me. And that's it, man. And at 12 years old, I knew I was called to the ministry. Wasn't totally sure what that was, but I knew I was going to do something for him. And here I am now as a college professor. When I'm done here with you, I go to a class and there's 600 students that are in. It's a gen ed class for all non-theology majors. So a lot of kids in there don't even know the Bible. Buddy, I love it. I love it. It brings out all my old youth pastor instincts. And so I get to teach them. We sprint through the Old Testament and I teach them God is a God who speaks, and the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who spoke to Joshua and Moses can speak to you today. That hit me as a 12-year-old. Isn't that powerful?
You're making the hair stand on the back of my neck. That's giving me.
I'm telling you.
That is one of the most remarkable stories I've ever heard.
I heard his voice.
Because I keep thinking about when I was 12. I'm like, that's amazing. What 12?
Yeah.
But, you know, but I want to ask you this because we've had other men ask me this question before about being called to the ministry when God calls them. Now, and you that was an encounter. You're by yourself. There's nobody around. And so God had your undivided attention because you
were going
to die.
Absolutely.
And you've been in. You're at a university where you guys are preparing people for the ministry. What do you tell your students who come to you and want to know if they believe they've been called to the ministry? How can they know? Because I don't know how to describe it. I just know, you know, but how do you tell them? What do you tell them?
So when you bow your knee to Jesus, he becomes your king. He doesn't become your peep, your bro, one of your posse. He becomes king. He demands all of you. He bought all of you. If you don't submit to him as king, we'll see how that works out for you, right? And when you bow your knee to him as king, then he gets to say what is going to be your life, your vocation. Now, mine may be on a platform. Mine may be in a little more public setting. Now, there's a lot of things I do that aren't public. But when he calls you, here's the beauty, and this is what I love to teach college students. He made you in a certain way. What do you love to do? What fires you up? So you're not going to come to my class and me tell you go for the money. I'm going to tell you to go for what God made you for. What are you passionate about? What do you love? We'll help you do that at the undergrad level. And then you can figure out how to get paid for that, right? How to get paid for that? Because then it's not work. It can be your vocation, but there's stuff about my job, the different hats that I wear that I'm like, man, I don't like that the best. I don't like writing syllabi and I don't like doing this and that, but it's I love this. And you too can love it. And that's why God made you. Too many people out there in what Thoreau called this mass of men living lives of quiet desperation. And then they die and they never got to live the dream that God put in them. And Jesus brings that alive in you.
And Jeff, you're absolutely right. And what I hear from men a lot of times is that they're so concerned about, like, they go with the, like you were saying, the love, that man, I'm passionate about it. But then they're worried about, but what if I'm wrong? And My thing is, if God has called you to something and you know, and you have a love for, and you have a love for him, and like you say, he's your Lord, and you want to serve him in it. We can't know 100% if we're right, but man,
right.
If God is using you and you're being a blessing, if you're that wrong, then why would you want to be right? just go with where he's leading you.
So Martin Luther said, love God and sin boldly.
Yeah.
I love that. That yeah, man,
I love
you,
that too.
If you miss it, you're going to miss it because you were trying your best thinking it was God. And God has a way through grace of, okay, all right. Now, Joe, that's not exactly what I was saying, and you thought so, but I love you. Come on, let's come this way.
Yeah, Jeff, the way I explained, I said that God is God is an expert at hitting bullseyes with crooked arrows.
That is so true. Amen. Well,
he'll find the target, no matter how crooked we are and how messed up. I said the key is we just got to be facing in the right direction.
And that's God, a good word.
God's grace and mercy will cover us.
Amen.
But thanks for sharing that story with us, man. You know, in your book, you talk about how men are attacked in so many different areas of their lives. And I wanted to use the time that we have just to kind of pick apart some of those areas and what you've seen in your experience and work with men and what you have done to help them deal with some of those challenges. And one of the biggest ones, and I guess even according to Barna's study about we struggle with work-life balance when it comes to being men. And so time management is obviously an area that the enemy wants to attack us because what does the Bible tell us that the days are evil and we should be wise and not as unwise men, but to make the best use of the time. What do you think when it comes to time, what do you think is challenging men the most and what can we do to be better stewards of our time?
Absolutely. We like to talk about rhythm and the whole serpent crusher. It's interesting. Serpent crushers, actually, it's not just because it's my most recent book. It is my favorite because I could hand that to any man. And of course, I'd like to sit and talk with you about it, but I could hand that to any man. It would help you crush the things that are crushing you. And ultimately, it's a gospel presentation. You could get saved. You could be confronted with who Jesus is through this cool little book, 110 pages. And one of the regular mantras that we have is you need to crush your rhythm, your time. You need to, and when I crush it, I mean, don't do too much. That's one of the things that the enemy tries to get you to do, but take control of your time. And we like to talk about that, realizing we all have the same amount of hours, but you need to find out, hear from heaven. God is a God who speaks. What does your daily schedule need to look like? And start having a schedule. Right. And that doesn't sound like this profound thing. And you know what? There's all kinds, but I'm telling you what, it is profound. Because when you begin to take control of your time, then you put a couple hours back to back. You're like, okay, all right. And you, a lot of guys have too many lists. They have too many, you know, they have too many things going on. Simplify. Like Jesus did, and we talk about this in Serpent Crusher, Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went out to a solitary or deserted place where he prayed, meaning he got away from the clamor and the prattle and the clatter. And if you stay with that text a couple verses later, Peter goes out looking for him, and he's like, Lord, where are you? The crowd's over here. And Jesus is like, all right, the crowd's to the right, we're going left.
Right.
I'm not called to likes and shares and this. I don't let that drive me. I go where the Lord said go. And this is why I came, to go that way and to go where he told me, not the prattle and clatter of the contemporary culture. So it's imperative that we have a form of managing our time. And we actually talk about that. We make it real simple in Serpent Crusher. Man, we tell you just a few short, easy ways how to crush your time. Too many guys get crushed by time. You need to crush your time. And there's a way to do that.
What amazes me a lot of time that I'm working with men is, and you know, when it comes to being a speaker and an author, a teacher, and it involves a lot of travel for us because we have to speak at different places. And our schedules are really frantic. And I'm always amazed when I hear guys who don't even have to travel as much talk about how their schedules are out of control. I'm like, how is that possible? But because they don't actually have a plan for their time. And I believe I totally agree with you about having a schedule. I said somebody should be able to ask you, give you a day and a time in your schedule, and you should know what you at least should be doing.
Absolutely.
At that time. Because every hour is accounted for. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do it because you might be wasting a little bit of it, but you know what you should be doing. Because if you don't have a plan for your time, we know the enemy does have a plan.
And for me, it's rhythm. You got to get a healthy, good rhythm. And we see that in our Lord Luke and the different gospel writers say, as it was his custom, rhythm,
right.
Jesus went to the mountainside to pray.
Right.
While it was still dark, as was his custom, I'm like, okay.
So we're our Lord was same time, same place. And
they knew Judas knew where he was going to find him.
Yeah.
In the garden, because that's where Jesus hung out. Right. Dad, there, he's like, no, I promise you, follow me. We're going to find him here because that's where he goes.
Right.
He was a rhythmic, rhythmic Lord.
Good stuff, Jeff. Now, you know, another area is the thought life. Well, we mentioned before about who do we think we are and being who God has called us to be. But a lot of us are guilty of stinking thinking. So when it comes to men and in your experience in dealing with men, how have you been able to redirect and help men take control, not only of their time now, but also of their thought life, taking those thoughts captives and making obedient to Christ? What do you suggest to men to be better managers of their thoughts?
Absolutely. So what are you putting in your mind? You know, I've raised three sons and a daughter. And so they used to call me as they were coming up, social media was just being born, but CDs, DVDs, everything else, they would be like, Dad, you're the CD Nazi or the DVD Nazi. And because they meant I controlled it. Why? Because this is an environment that I'm paying the house payment. I do get to say what goes into your mind, what goes into your eyes. Jesus said, the eye is the window to the soul. Meaning that there are these passages to the core of who you are and what we see and what we hear, what we ingest like that affects the core of our person. We have got to monitor that. And too many of us have this thing right here, our phone, and we're like this. We're like, and before you know it, you got that little tracker up there and you spent how many hours on social media? And oftentimes using it as an excuse, well, I got to be on social media. I'm like, well, you know what? I'd rather read a book, write a book, ingest scripture. And that's the way that productive people learn how to crush what's going into their mind and having their mind renewed. And so I'd like to talk about several things. You've got to have the word going into your mind through reading, through listening. There are so many different vehicles. I also think it's imperative that we read good literature. In addition to scripture, I think we need to be people who are astute. Jesus grew in wisdom, favor, and stature with God and man. Jesus learned. It's the beauty of the incarnation. He submitted to that. And oh my goodness. Now I think probably learned at a quicker rate, because as a 12-year-old, he was confounding guys like you and me who had PhDs. And, but he submitted himself to the literature and reading and ingesting and asking questions. And I think that is imperative. You need to crush what you are thinking on and putting in your mind, what you listen to on Spotify, what you're looking at on Instagram. And so I actually wrote another book called Defending the Feminine Heart. And in it, I talk about how to not objectify women. And the way that you do that is you have to have electronic walls. You must have an electronic wall, something that is a blocker on this, something that is a blocker on your computer that has teeth. My wife gets a report every week on what happens on my computer. Why? Because I would be mortified and embarrassed if I did something on there that came back to her that she's like, what website? What picture did you see? And guys, what guys don't do is they don't practice real accountability, in my opinion. They kind of, it becomes a mutual, can I confess to you? Yeah, I did this and I messed up. And I did too. I did this and I messed up. And let's pray for one another. And it never changes. And so we need to have some accountability so that what we are putting in our minds and in our eyes edifies us and builds us up. Right. And so I think that's imperative. So we've got to crush what we think on.
You know, and isn't it ironic how that goes hand in hand with time, with work-life balance and time management?
Absolutely.
Because if we're usually wasting time and, like you said, don't have a schedule and not disciplined in our time, what are we using that? Because what's surprising, we have men do like time journals to just kind of get a rough picture of
that's brilliant
time.
Yeah.
You know what's shocking to them, Jeff, is I tell them even ahead of time, I said, you're going to be shocked how much free time you have. You keep thinking you're really, really busy. No, you're just wasting.
Don't tell me you're too busy. I'm going to find you some time.
You're just wasting more time than you think. But if you do that time journal, you're going to see. And typically what happens when they're shocked, that's the first thing they're surprised by. I didn't realize I had this much time. And now the question is, then what are we doing with that time? And more than likely, we're not taking control of what is going into our mind and into our ears and our eyes and what we see, which is affecting our thought life. So it's funny how that kind of goes hand in hand. And it goes back to disciplining your time.
Because that 3.5, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours that you spend on social media, you could go to the gym.
Yeah.
You could go and do some cardio. And what I love to do is while I'm doing cardio, I love to listen to Audible books. And so you can be smart. Man, I'm redeeming the time. I'm there doing Audible while I'm getting my heart rate up. And you know, their way, just be smart. And I found the Holy Spirit has helped me over the years to be tactical. And then I do have time, and I feel called of God to try to write a book a year.
Wow. And, book a year.
Yes, sir, buddy. I feel called to do that. And, how you got to find some time to do that, right?
Yes, you
right.
Do.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
And so, if God's called me to do that, he's going to help me. And like I said, it may be love God and sin boldly, but I'm going to take a cut at it. But you better find some time and crush your time and your thoughts, and it all goes together.
Oh, Jeff, this is so good. I'm looking at time, and we're getting close to time.
That's all right.
But I can't wait to talk about one of my favorite topics and struggles that we have as men, and we kind of alluded to it earlier, and that's in the area of identity. I didn't realize and understand the impact of identity in how is at the center of most, if not all of our problem, our identity in Christ when it comes to Christian men, until I started this ministry. I didn't know it was that. I just thought it was me problem that, you know, okay, I struggle with identity, but I didn't realize how pervasive that problem is. Could you talk to us about how important identity is in our success and effectiveness as Christian men and what we can do to strengthen that identity on a regular basis, so we can have the life that God has called us to and the kind of men that God has called us to be?
Yeah, our identity must be in Christ. And I don't say that in a trite, flippant, or religious way. It has to be. When you stop trying, there was a time even after I met Jesus, and he just kind of sits back and lets you do it, that I was kind of caught up in trying to be this kind of speaker, that kind of speaker. And it was about, Joe, my drug was performance. And, you know, there are people who are heroin addicts and meth addicts and what, but I was a performance addict. And I found my identity in accolades and claps, and the enemy can distract you with that, can he? And And when I got, and I say mostly delivered, I don't know that I'm totally delivered. It's like, I don't know if you've seen The Princess Bride. One of the characters in there goes, he's only mostly dead. I think I'm mostly delivered of the, you know, identity in myself. And what I found that when I got delivered of trying to be somebody else in the pulpit, or trying to be somebody else as an author, or trying to be somebody else as a professor, you get delivered from that, and you're not competing with anybody. And when you're not competing with anybody, man, there's nobody better at being you than you. And when the Holy Spirit comes in and uses you, then, oh my goodness, it's not that I can't learn something from watching Dr. Joe preach. I know you can bring it or teach. That's awesome. I could learn something from you. But I can be me, and I can clap for you while God is doing that. When I found my identity in Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus died for me. I was crucified with him. I am dead. And now I'm alive in him. I'm resurrected in him. And so he gets to make me new. He gets to inform who I am as I follow him, as my rabbi, as my teacher, as my anointer. That's my identity's in him. When my identity's in him, I don't have to compete with anyone else. I don't have to be jealous of anyone else. And that's why I said I've been mostly delivered from that. There are days where every once in a while you feel a twinge of, oh, where'd that come from? Am I coveting that, or am I? But for the most part, and it comes from identity in Christ, man. You need to, and on a regular basis, be ingesting, like we talk about, the word, practicing our five stones, right? Allowing the power of Jesus in you to crush the serpent. And that's that whole serpent crusher theme is derived from the proto-evangelium, Genesis 3:14 and 15, where Adam and Eve have fallen. And their identity now is shame. They're hiding. The serpent fooled them, tricked them, called into question God's word. And they were disobedient, now hiding in shame. And the Lord asks where they are. And they start to blame one another. Adam blames, really throws Eve under the bus before there were even buses. Hey, it's her fault. Yeah, I did it because of her. And the scripture tells us that he took some of the fruit and he was there with her. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You were sitting there while she gets seduced by Nahash, the devil. Oh my goodness. And then the Lord makes a prophetic proclamation. He curses Satan to crawl in his belly, which I love. And then he says that the seed of the woman will crush your head. You will strike his heel, but the seed of the woman will crush your head. And Joe, I'm convinced the rest of the story of scripture is the playing out of that. It's the seed of the serpent crushing, or the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent. And it's that, those two seeds, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman in battle. And Paul says in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. That's what the lineage means in Matthew and in Luke. And we talk about that in our book, Serpent Crusher. Literally, we walk through the lineage and we're like, that's the seed passing from generation. This thus and such begat thus and such begat thus and such. And then in the fullness of time, Christ came and he walked and lived the perfect life. And then on Golgotha, and we actually give you some really cool insight. I hadn't read it before. I'm not saying I'm the first guy to think of it, but there's some cool stuff we give you on Golgotha, that on Golgotha, the head of the serpent was crushed. As Jesus said, it is finished. Boom. On Golgotha, that very historic place in Jewish culture, it was proclaimed, it is finished. And Jesus crushed the head of the serpent and then resurrected 3 days later to decapitate that serpent and hold it up for the world to see. Killed death. Jesus killed death. When my identity is in that, oh my goodness, that gives me purpose to live. I'm a serpent crusher too.
Yeah.
And I need to stop that getting crushed.
That power is in us. That same
power. Amen.
In us. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That defines me. And I can be like you and I were talking about our scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I can be a new creature. Old things are passed away. Start living like what you are. Stop getting crushed. Because you weren't made to get crushed. You've been made new. So I could go on and on and on.
And when I pray with my wife and I pray for my wife, and she, and to her credit, she's never questioned me about it. But I'll say that I'll declare that the power that she has through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'll mention crush the head of the serpent.
Oh, amen.
She's never asked me why I say it, you know, but I speak that over her and to her because she, I want her to know that she has kingdom authority in her as well. That it's not just a man, masculine thing.
You
have the power to crush the head of the serpent.
Yes, she does.
The power lives within us. And that maybe that should be a prayer. We should be praying more over our spouses and ourselves because that's our true identity. You know,
and you know what? I pray that over my wife every night. It's funny that you do that. Wow. Every night and day as well. And we establish our domain. This address is my address. And I've prayed that over my kids. I still pray over my adult kids and our grandkids. And then it's interesting to hear them pray it. It's really cool because this stuff is alive. It is generational. It is this serpent crusher. We're created to be that.
Yeah.
And to change the generations. And that's what, again, I've loved this, you know, to be able to write this simple prequel to our other stuff. It's going to help some guys.
You know, Jeff, we got time for just one more question, man. Well, we got to bring you back on the show, Jeff.
I'd love to. I'd be honored. Let's do it.
You've written several books and we can talk about a lot of your books. But I'm glad I'm going to end on this last question because it's what our ministry is all about. It's in our title, Real Men Connect.
Oh, I love that.
That we believe you're only as strong as the number of stronger men you have in your life, godly men you have in your life. And we don't believe any good man can become a great man without the help of godly men in his life.
Amen.
Speak on community, because I love to hear from you on your take and your view of the importance. You mentioned a little bit earlier in the interview, the importance of community and the vital part that it plays in the life of men. And why we've been doing this podcast and we're doing this to get men back in community. Talk about the importance of community. What from your perspective of what you've seen in the development?
Yeah, you got to have it. I could hold this up and I get a text every 2 weeks from my mentor. He's 93.
Wow, 93.
This dude is a modern day, give me my mountain Caleb kind of guy.
Oh my goodness.
And we go from about 2 miles from where I'm at right here. We go to this little coffee shop and we go there. And he examines my life, and we've been doing it for 20 some years. I have to have community when I go through some stuff. He has been with me and talked me in off the ledge. He has helped me when my kids were going through stuff. He has been there. Got to have somebody speaking into your life. And then we have to have peers, those with whom we have locked shields. And we like to talk about lived in the text together. Our church, Church 3434, is a living in the text church, meaning that we are in the Word. Our men's cave time on Thursday morning at the same restaurant, we have 35, 40, 50 men come together and we engage in the same text that I preached on or one of my colleagues preached on. And we just open up Mark chapter 7 and we send an email to all the guys in our church. Why? Because this is how we roll. We got to have one another. And so you need someone who is covering you, speaking into your life that's a little farther down. You need colleagues who are with you. And then, in my opinion, you need to have somebody into whom you're imparting.
Who you're pouring into, yeah.
Absolutely. That is a good rhythm for a man. You're being imparted to, you have co-equals, and then you have somebody you're imparting to. And that's a Christ-like model. That's a Pauline model. And when you do that, you're going to be healthier, and you'll be perpetuating this serpent-crushing rhythm.
And what a great way to close out the show, because to me, that's what this ministry is about and what we're trying to do. And because it's one thing for them to listen to a podcast, to read a book and everything, but nothing's ever going to replace being in community and actually having someone that you can confide in, someone who, like you said, can pour into you and people you can pour into. Nothing replaces community. God built us for a relationship, first with him and then with others. So I'm glad we closed on that note. But Jeff, can you believe that, man, the time is already, we're done?
No, man, I enjoyed this. I've done some podcasts, but they've never gone this quick.
It's going fast, man, I tell you, but we're going to have to bring you back on the show, man.
I'd love to.
Our warriors who are out there listening to us right now, guys, we've come to the end of our show, but don't you worry. We'll be back to do it again next week with a new guest, new insights, and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. But guys, I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Jeff Voth, for joining us today and being so gracious with his time. And you heard him. He said it already on the air. He's going to come back. So
amen.
Jeff, thank you, man, for being on the show and sharing your wisdom with us, man. You've been a blast to have on the show, man.
I've been honored, brother. Honored. And can Jeff, I tell them how quickly, to, yeah,
for them, if they want to find out more and how to get Serpent Crusher, or even find out more about you and reach out to you, what could they do to, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Go to cavetime.org, CAVETIME.org. You can get all of our gear. Again, we have been making a special push. We've got Serpent Crusher. We've got these Serpent Crusher bundles. The Serpent Crusher book, we got a really cool journal so you can practice some of the rhythms Joe and I've been talking about, and a Serpent Crusher sticker. And then you have an audible. I went into the studio and recorded it audible. So if you want to have story time with Pastor Jeff, just do it. I'll bring it via that. And so, yeah, you can go to cavetime.org, get all that stuff. And we'd love to walk with you in your journey, whatever we can do to help.
You know, and Jeff, thank you for sharing that contact information. We'll put all that and more in the show notes so they can reach out to you. But I'm going to tell you out now, personally, I'm going to go there to look for some gear because I was reading some excerpts from your book. I'll tell you, you guys sent me the book and I didn't have a chance to read, but I've been reading the excerpts from it. And I remember you mentioned a story about how someone saw you on a plane with your shirt. So I'm thinking I can imagine some of the gear that you have probably great conversation starters. And I'm on a lot of planes. So I got to get me some gear so I can at least use that as a conversation starter.
Amen. It'll work. Plane.
So that's going to be great, man. Guys, and then, hey, if you like today's show, do us a favor. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes that we release, because we release the episode every Monday and Wednesday. But more importantly, take about 30 seconds and share this podcast with a friend or family member who you love, care about, who may be struggling. Guys, you heard what Jeff talked about today. I'm sure there's a man out there, you know, a son, a brother, an uncle, a father who could benefit from our conversation. Guys, sharing is caring. And obviously you guys are doing a lot of it because you made us one of the top rated podcasts on Apple Podcasts for Christian men. So please don't keep us a secret. Hit that share button and bless someone today. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, stay connected, because real men do connect. But most importantly, stay in God's grip, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.